Track 6, and now we're back to news stories. Flashing battery pack prompts RNLI call-out. A flashing light seen on the River Teen on Wednesday, October the 1st, resulted in a call-out for the volunteer crew from Tynmouth Royal National Lifeboat Institution. HM Solent Coast Guard paged the Tynmouth crew at 9:21 p.m. after receiving reports of a flashing white light SOS signal seen on the River Teen. The crew from Tynmouth Lifeboat Station quickly launched and worked with mobile teams from Dawlish Coast Guard on the shoreline. They located a boat off Ringmore in Sheldon, where the battery pack on board the vessel was flashing and lighting up the cabin. An SOS is an internationally recognised distress signal that is traditionally sent by flashing a light or sounding a horn with three short flashes or sounds, followed by three long flashes or sounds, and then another three short bursts. In this case, there was no emergency, but calling it in was absolutely the right thing to do, a spokesperson from Tynmouth RNLI said. We would far rather launch to a false alarm with good intent than risk someone in danger not being found. Tynmouth RNLI responds to around 50 shouts a year. The crew are all volunteers headed up by the lifeboat operations manager and launch authorities and supported by a shore crew. The wider team includes volunteer fundraisers, shop volunteers and water safety volunteers. Tynmouth RNLI is currently recruiting for a range of roles across its community engagement, fundraising and shore crew teams. Last year, Tynmouth RNLI received a new B-class Atlantic 85 inshore lifeboat, the Claude and Cath, thanks to a generous legacy.
COPD sufferer speaks out about the stigma. Battling a chronic lung condition has also left a Newton Abbott woman battling public judgment. Sarah has lived with breathing problems since she was 4 months old, when she was first diagnosed with asthma. 5 years ago, she was also diagnosed with COPD and now has just 25% lung capacity. But as well as dealing with a condition which makes simple everyday activities a challenge, the 63-year-old is also dealing with negative attitudes. As part of a national campaign, Sarah has spoken out about her experiences, which have damaged her confidence, access to care, and her trust in people. Her condition means walking and talking at the same time can leave her breathless. But rather than compassion, she is often met with judgment. People call me drunk in the street, Sarah explained. They see me struggling to breathe and talk and assume that I've been drinking. They push me aside. That one word makes me feel worthless. They judge me without knowing anything about me. The stigma doesn't just come from strangers. Sarah recalls being dismissed during a phone call with a support service. She said, they told me to stop shouting. I wasn't shouting. I was out of breath. I did explain that, but they still dismissed me. It made me not want to ask for help again. The impact reaches beyond Sarah to affect her family too. It hurts the people close to me too, she said. They see the way I'm treated and they feel helpless. It affects all of us. Breathlessness, visible fatigue and speech changes, common symptoms of COPD, can be misunderstood. As well as being labelled a drunk, Sarah has been called rude because she has to force her words out in one breath, and lazy because she struggles to walk far. COPD I can live with, she said, but I can't live with the bias. Sarah's experiences highlight a wider problem in how society views those with health conditions. Jonathan Blades from Asthma and Lung UK said, stigma around lung conditions is too often ignored, but the damage it causes is far-reaching. People with lung conditions often feel judged as lazy or unfit, avoided on public transport because of their cough, or too embarrassed or guilty to seek the medical help they need. We must break down these barriers so everyone can access the care they need and deserve.
Councillors to face complaint procedures. Members of Teignbridge Council Committee will decide later this week if they need to punish at least one of their own members for breaching their code of conduct. Discussions on four complaints upheld by an independent investigator will happen behind closed doors as the Council's Governance Committee goes into a so-called Part 2 session. Council meetings go into part two when members feel that they may have to discuss sensitive or confidential information. The councillor or councillors who were the subject of the complaints have not been named. Two separate complaints against the named councillor, Jane Taylor, independent King's Kurzweil with Coombe, were not upheld and are part of the part one public agenda for the meeting, which takes place on October the 2nd. In the cases of the unnamed councillors, Teambridge says the public interest in keeping the information under wraps outweighs the public interest in disclosing it. But a report to the committee goes on. The investigator has identified a breach of the code of conduct and the committee is to determine any further actions. Sanctions could include formal censure, a requirement to apologise in writing, removal from committees or even exclusion from council meetings. The first complaint against Councillor Taylor concerned a meeting of the Council's Overview and Scrutiny Committee in November 24. It claimed that she had tried to gain a place on the committee by falsely claiming to be a substitute member, took another councillor's nameplate and misrepresented her role, spoke over the chair of the meeting and acted disrespectfully. The investigator decided Councillor Taylor had not been intentionally deceptive and had been confused during a politically unstable period. Councillor Taylor's second complaint revolves around a full council meeting in January this year. Councillor Susan Sanders, Lib Dem Chudley, said Councillor Taylor had brought the council into disrepute by allegedly spreading misinformation and making deceitful statements for social media purposes. Having watched a video of the meeting and interviewed both councillors, the investigator reported Councillor Taylor's reaction, accusing the chair of implying that she'd engaged in hate speech, was biased on a genuine, albeit mistaken, belief. There is no evidence of premeditation or intent by Councillor Taylor to manipulate the meeting for social media content. While Councillor Taylor's conduct may have been disruptive, it did not meet the threshold for bringing the council into disrepute. The allegation is unsubstantiated and the complaint not upheld, and no sanctions are recommended.
Cost of living drop-in events are returning. Teambridge District Council are once again teaming up with Teen CVS to host a new series of free drop-in sessions across the district. At these sessions, TDC will be joined by Teen CVS and representatives from a variety of local organisations, including Food Bank, Citizens Advice, South West Water, Teen Housing and Brighter Horizons, who will be on hand to offer help and advice. The events will take place on Thursday, October the 30th, 12 to 2.30 at the Strand Centre, Dawlish, Monday, November the 10th, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at Tynemouth Pavilions, and Saturday, November the 22nd, 11 a.m. to 12.30 p.m. at Heathfield Community Centre. All sessions are free to attend, no need to book, just drop in, says a spokesperson for TDC. And there's a phone number if you need to go, and it's 07435 570161.